I can't even deal with people who are mean to Jennifer Lopez about her career. I'm sorry. I'm a J-Lo stan. I'm not a stan, but I just, I'm gonna defend her. She's given us some hits, okay? She gave us Selena. She gave us The Cell. She gave us Monster Among. All right. That one song with LL Cool J, Waiting for Tonight.
She's real.
Whoa. Why are you being so mean to her?
I'm Maureen San Diego, Chicago's premier female impersonator. And this is
I Can't Even.
A show where we talk to celebrity guests and also non-celebrity guests and find out what they can't even about.
I can't even.
Mama, I can't.
Welcome back to I Can't Even. I am here. Okay, so this is very exciting. I've been wanting to have this person on the pod for a very long time. They are just like an Instagram story savant in terms of hilarity. They're one of like the funniest people I know. But that's not a guarantee that they'll be funny today. We might talk about some serious topics like, Israel or whatever. We're not going to, but they're fabulous. They're hysterical. They're an amazing stand-up. They're an amazing friend. I love doing poppers with them on the Berlin dance floor. Rest in peace. Give it up right now for AJ Markin. Did I
Thank you
say
for
it
having
right?
me. No. It's Marokin, but you got close.
Are you of color?
Yeah, I'm a WOC. I'm a woman of color.
Oh, well, no, what
Yeah.
color though?
No, I'm half Mexican,
What?
but I'm white. I always tell people I'm a white guy because it's like I just have a white guy with complicated last name. But yeah, I'm half Mexican.
Damn, I'm gonna get red for this because my first two episodes are half Mexicans. So I guess
So one full Mexican and one white
one
person.
full Mexican. Actually,
It
that's good for the brand, I think.
is.
How are you doing? You're in ATL, right?
I did a pit stop there last night. I just got to New Orleans today. So I'm going to be here for the month for Mardi Gras.
What is so you have your remote job and then you're New Orleans and you can do that?
Oh yeah, I'm loving it. I for the last like 2 years, I've done the digital nomad thing, which I hate calling it digital nomad because it makes it sound like I'm like jacking off in a van, and it's not true. I'm jacking off in an Airbnb, and it is expensive.
Wow.
Yeah,
What's it
yeah.
like being so privileged?
It's so amazing to be so privileged. I will say I'm leaning into it now because I feel like when you work a virtual or a remote job or any job in tech, it's like you can just get fired like whenever.
That's my biggest fear. Like
Oh, absolutely.
I have a work from home job right now and I'm like, my mental health is great. I'm skinny. I'm putting wallpaper up in my apartment. I'm painting. I got a walking pad so I can walk, but
Oh
in
my
my
God.
house.
Wait, what's a walking pad?
It's like a treadmill, but for walking.
What do you
Like you can
mean?
walk on it.
Like flooring?
I mean, you can run on it. It's a treadmill. So it's for people that work from home that live in maybe winter climates. I live in LA, but that doesn't
Yeah.
mean I'm going outside. But
And
it's
it's like a it go, does it go under your desk? Like you are at
yeah,
the
it goes
desk
under your
walking and doing
desk,
it?
and you can have a standing desk and you can be walking while you're typing.
That is so fucking stupid, Maureen. How does that privilege feel? To be walking whenever you
I haven't started yet.
want?
I'm gonna do some today though, because it's actually raining out, but I
Do you
actually
love? Oh, go
what?
ahead. I
No,
was going
go
to ask if you love LA.
on. Not for the first year. The first year
Yeah.
was so fucking hard. It was hard because you don't realize how hard it is when you're leaving your people and like you have to meet new people and you meet new friends and you're like, but am I just friends with you because like I don't have any other friends? You know, sorry, that sounds so mean. It's not
No,
that they're bad people.
No, you're so spot. I'm so bad at meeting new people. Like, I have to be, this is, and I'm sure we'll talk more about, you know, our problems with alcohol abuse, but I just feel like I have to be blackout drunk to meet a new person and actually sincerely care about them. Cause if I'm sober, I'm just like, what are we talking about? Like, what is this? How do you meet new people? Do you have like a set plan? Do you have like a pickup line for friends?
Well, what happened recently, so how I meet people is like, the best way I've met people in Chicago is they'll see me perform and then they'll be like, oh my God, you're the best person to ever exist.
You drop this at your new ring.
They're gay men. But no, I actually, I've been connecting because I feel like when I moved to LA, I was sort of like, oh, I want to be a writer. And like, I don't know if I'm going to do drag anymore and this and this and that. And then I kind of realized like, it's kind of the best, one of the best things about me. And it's just something that I've built up so much that it's like, it's there. So I'm starting to fall back in love with it a little bit. And I'm realizing like the type of people I love are in the drag scene. You know, because I've been I went to open mics here. Oh my God.
I've heard they're crazy gross in LA. I heard there's a majority of like actors who are just trying to be discovered. So their like agent makes them go to do open mics, even though they don't do comedy. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I hear from people.
Or it's a lot of like people that have been hanging around the Comedy Store, but they still do these mics, but their bits are like so offensive and gross and like not funny that it cycles back to being funny, but it's not funny. So you're not learning anything from these open mics. It's not helpful as a performer. In fact, it makes you want to kill yourself, to be quite honest with you.
One of the many things that makes me want to kill myself. One of the many.
And you have to pay for it. They're like, we're going to take away all your confidence. By the way, can I have $5?
You pay to perform at the mic.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I had no idea about that.
Yeah. And I'm like, because I have a really close friend here they're big and like they're not big, but I'm not going to backtrack. They have like a show at the Improv on Sundays. Like the lineups that they're in are like Sebastian Maniscalco and Bill Burr and like all these people. But I'm like, how, as a stand-up moving here, do you even get to that? From what I've heard is, and you know Jake Knoll, they're amazing, but I've heard from them, it's so hard. And essentially you have to like meet people and get booked on indie shows. But even more of that is you have to go to the Improv, to their open mic every week. And it's a lottery and they pick 20 people or whatever. And if you're there, half of the people will go up and you have to go every week. God. And that's how you get seen at the Improv, or you go to, so it's just like, you have to hang around. And I'm sort of like, you know, maybe I will do drag.
Absolutely. I mean, I think when you have to hang around or be, that's the one thing I think that pushes me away from comedy now. Not pushes me away, but it's just like, I don't have the social energy to go out and see all the shows all the time. And especially if they're not going to be funny, or if it's just like the same 7 or 8 people. I'm like, why do I want to do that? To have like 2 to 7 like vodka pineapples? No way. I'm like spending so much money and I'm not having a good time. And then at the end of it, I'm like, I don't feel good about this. But I feel like you mentioned earlier about, or when we started about like, you were thinking when you got there that you wouldn't do drag anymore. But it's like, you're always, I feel like when you're good at what you do, you're great at drag, you can never really quit drag. Cause you know, you can pick it up. Like it's like muscle memory. You could pick it up like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
You can get a really weird car wreck and then like wake up from the coma and like go do drag, which would be sickening.
Well, it's cool too, because, you know, it's heartening because sometimes when I do go out, I'll go to Precinct or somewhere else, and someone will come up to me and they'll be like, oh my God, are you Maureen San Diego? And I'll be like, yes. I mean, but it's only in
you've been served, and they hand you some papers.
Granted, it's only 4 bars in LA. And like, I had someone say last night, this is Maureen San Diego. She's really famous in Chicago. And I'm like, yes, I am a micro celebrity in Chicago in 4 blocks of Boys Town. Yeah. But that makes me feel really good because sometimes it gets really isolating here. And if you're alone in your thoughts and you're just like not doing anything or not, you know, a content creator or whatever, and you're not like performing as much, which I was putting myself out there more to perform when I got here, but I wasn't liking my drag. I didn't have money to upgrade it. Like I didn't have money to like do better things. I couldn't find like a good job to save my life. I like had two of the worst jobs I've ever had ever. Which was I worked for Brian Cox from Succession for his manager, his talent manager, who was one of the most sociopathic people I've ever met in my life. And he said to me, my second day of working there, he said to me, you know, I, you know, when somebody would ask my client to meet with Harvey Weinstein, I wouldn't send them, not because I was afraid they were going to get molested, but because I just didn't think they were ready to meet Harvey Weinstein. And I'm like, doesn't make you a feminist.
But he tried. He tried.
It was so hot. Like, I was like,
that's crazy.
I am living the Hollywood cliche. I am an assistant to a very, how do I say this? I don't want to frame autism as an insult. So I don't know how to like go about this, but he was clearly not socially inept. Like there was something missing there. So he was just very inappropriate.
Yeah. Like, he's like one of those people that stood too close to the microwave growing up.
Yeah. Like if you were eating or doing something, he'd be like, why are you doing that? Or like, like, what did he say to me? Just like crazy shit. Like his handwriting, we had a key for his handwriting because it was so bad. And it was very, it was like symbols. So he would give us the casting sheet of who he wanted to see for each part of his roster. By the way, he had like 80 clients, which I'm like, if I have a manager, I don't want to know that they have 80 clients. So he put like their initials and we had a key of all the initials because his handwriting was so bad. And I would ask him, I'm like, can you train me on this? And he'd be like, figure it out. And I'd be like, I'm 32.
I don't ever get how people like that make it so to where they're at. I feel like it's such a confidence-based thing. You know what I mean? And you probably see it a lot in like drag. I see it in comedy where it's like the people who are the worst at what they should be doing, but like love the smell of their own farts go so far. Because if you are just like, I'm really good at this, people are like, you must be really good at it. And so they just like let you go do what you want. Whereas I feel like people that are actually good at it kind of like pull back or perfectionists and they don't go so far. But like, that to have a staff of people that have to have like a map and key to be able to decipher what your writing is because it's so terrible, but you also manage 80 celebrities is wild. You're in charge of Brian Cox?
He couldn't open Zoom either. And the people at Carpool Karaoke.
this is an ad for the podcast.
The people at Carpool Karaoke said, because through the grapevine, one of the assistants told our assistants that the people at Carpool Karaoke said that Brian Cox's manager was the worst person they had worked with in the entire span of the James Corden show. So there you go. But I got one of the best things of that job ever is I got to talk to Brian Cox on the phone because he couldn't figure out an app. Because he was trying to watch a video of himself. And I was like, it's like, I can't figure out this fucking app. I was like, okay, Mr. Cox, have you tried reinstalling? And he's like, of course I tried reinstalling. What do you think this is? And I'm like, okay. I don't know, maybe reset your phone or something. And he's like, okay, I'll try that.
It was crazy. I think Brian Cox is so hot.
He's so great. I love this fucking place. I fucking love it. He was actually really nice. I did get to hear him yell at the manager too. And once he started yelling, he was like, get out of the room. And he made us leave. And then we went downstairs and vaped for like 30 minutes while I was yelling at him.
Oh my God. Oh wait, LA, that's vape city, right?
It's very vapey. Smoke
cigarettes?
Oh, people smoke.
Okay. I just, it gives off the vape energy. I feel like every time I've been in California, I'm smoking a cigarette. People are like, ew, what the fuck are you doing?
There's really?
Like fully hitting a car battery. Yeah.
Were you at straight bars though?
No, I was like on a I was at a baby shower inside. I was in the maternity ward.
Maybe that's why.
No, I was at the beach, which I guess is like probably a place people don't want you to smoke cigarettes, but it's like, it was the most beautiful cigarette I've ever had in my entire life.
I love a beach cigarette.
I love a cigarette any damn where. Just, I love ripping them. Just ripping cigs back to back. You know that. You and I in front of bars, smoking ciggies, talking shit.
Well, I started smoking again at my hearing, because I was working at a hearing aid clinic.
Oh my God. Did Brian Cox get you that job?
No.
He had to connect.
It was a fucking, I was so desperate for a job. Like, I would have taken anything. It was so bad. And the guy I worked with, I loved him. The job was horrible and they didn't train me, but the guy I worked with was great. On like the second day I worked there, he was like, yeah, I came to LA to become an actor, but then I developed a cocaine problem and I have this scar on my neck. Do you see that? That's because I broke a glass bottle on my neck. But he was so sweet and he had come so far, and he's like, and then I decided to be a hearing aid distributor.
Oh, you decided to be. Then you had the heavenly calling of distributing hearing aids wholesale, as we all get.
You can make a lot of money doing it.
Hey, you don't have to defend yourself. I understand.
But the fucking office I worked in was like a quarter of the size of like my studio apartment. And we were in Beverly Hills, so we would get these old people from Beverly Hills that were like not only high maintenance, but they couldn't hear. So this lady one time complained about me and was like, she doesn't talk loud enough on the phone. And I'm like, you're deaf. I'm very loud. And she came in the office and she was like, are you Caitlin? You know, I was telling Robert that I don't like the way you answered the phone. You're really hard to hear. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you for your feedback.
I had really hard to hear.
I had a 95-year-old woman yell at me. Just this 80-pound frail woman with makeup that looked like mine right now. Just yelling at me. And I was like, I'm moving back to Chicago. Like, I really was going to move back. I started selling all my stuff.
At the hearing aid clinic?
No. In my home.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot where this was going, but we're catching up.
We are catching up.
But I started smoking again. And then I went to the doctor and they were like, you need to go on birth control.
Because of the smoking?
You're not supposed to smoke on birth control. And then I finally read something about it. Because you can get a blood clot and have a heart attack and die. Your risk for blood clots goes up. So, but I was like chain smoking at this job, like giving no fucks. Yeah. I was having panic attacks every day, just like really in the thick of it.
Birth control sucks.
What's that?
Birth control sucks.
It sucks. It makes
you too far into the future now.
What's that? Yeah, it does.
Oh my God. I was just thinking we're too far into the future. It's 2024. You should have like a better birth control. Like it seems like, I feel like, especially like in comedy, I always hear people talking about their IUD and I see pictures of it. I'm like, that's fucking crazy that like birth control is so gnarly. And then on top of that, when you would want to cope by smoking a cigarette, it's like, oh, but the birth control also makes you, you know.
By the way, you'll die.
Explode. Yeah.
You'll die.
People hit it raw. At this point, you know?
Exactly. And like, so I was at the doctor and they had to prescribe me birth control because my period was messed up. And the nurse before I go is like, by the way, if you smoke a cigarette, You could die. And I was like, okay.
But what did she say about, but what about cloves? Do those count?
I don't think they count. Do you still smoke?
Oh, absolutely. I do. Yeah. I do. It feels like it's such a, you know what's weird? What, with me when smoking, it's like, I never want a cigarette during the daytime. Like if it's hot out, I'm like, ew. Holding like a flame to my face while the sun's out. I'm a nighttime cool weather smoker. And if I have one drink of alcohol, I'm going to be smoking. It's just like my little compass in the dark.
I love that. Cold smoking. My thing that I don't understand is people that walk and smoke.
Oh yeah. It's terrible.
I'm like, how can you enjoy it?
Yeah. Like walking? On your walk pad, watching them from the window. People who take birth control and walk, how do you do it?
I should get a video of me on my walk pad before.
You have to at this point. This needs to, I want to see it. I'm actually so, do you remember my favorite thing, since we're talking about cigarettes, one of the things that I thought was like so hot to me and smoking wise was when I was in college, they had Camel number 9s. Do you remember those?
The pink ones.
Yes, and they were like marketed to like teen girls and fags, and I was like, oh my god, because the box was like a fake leather embossed box, and it was just jet black with like a bright fluorescent green or like hot pink Camel on the front of it, and I thought they were the chicest cigarettes I've ever and smoked in my entire
the
life.
The pink foil.
Yes.
You opened it up, the pink foil.
It was so attractive. That's the only time I've ever thought about cigarettes being marketed towards people, because I remember in Chicago, the Walgreens by my house, I went there for a pack of I was smoking Marlboro Smooths at the time. I was like, can I get a pack of Marlboro Smooths? And they were like, we don't sell menthol cigarettes because we're across the street from an elementary school. Like,
what?
A fourth grader is going to come in, you're going to sell them regular cigarettes? Like, it made no sense to me. And I got so pissed off about it. And I thought that the only thing I've ever seen, like, cigarettes actually work marketing-wise was the Camel number 9s.
So good. And it's like, if you're going to smoke a cigarette, like, turn it up to 100. Do the menthol.
Absolutely. I want to feel like I'm smoking cough drops. Okay. I want to. Yeah. I want to. It feels good. If I had a menthol right now, it would kill me at this point, because I haven't.
Oh my God. It'd be so nice to be smoking and doing the podcast. Oh, I love that.
Oh. No,
when I was in college, there's this guy named JT, and he was this massive Hawaiian gay man. And he smoked Camel number 9s, and we would smoke Camel number 9s, do poppers, and play Super Smash Brothers, which was like one of my favorite memories. It was so fun. So we would do the poppers before the round started, and then we would play. And that was my first time doing poppers.
Really? That's where it all started. That's the lore.
When I was 18, yeah.
Imagine if you had never done poppers in your entire life. You'd probably own your own hearing aid clinic in Beverly Hills. Might have set you back.
Would.
I would love to, if I had a superpower, I would love to see like different variations of my life if I had chosen not to do something. Like, what would I look like right now if I had never ever smoked a cigarette this whole entire time? You know, like, would it be a little bit tighter, you know?
I'm struggling with aging. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've been doing a lot of skincare to the point where I'm like, I want to look better than I've ever looked. Mm-hmm. But then I'll be talking to someone and my age will come up and I'll be like, oh, I'm 33. Waiting for them to be like, oh my God, you look so much younger. But I'll be like, I'm 33. And they'll be like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. That seems right.
I hate talking about age only because I never, first off, I think the worst question is when you ask someone how old they are and they go, how old do you think I am? Oh my God, the biggest gag question, because I'm so bad at that shit. It's like, I have no idea what age anyone should be because I have like Appalachian white trash family. So it's like, I have 7-year-olds who have like through evolution gotten that mouth that you get whenever you don't have teeth, but like your gums touch each other, but they have a full set of teeth, but their gums still kind of do that. It's like my family, they all have looked like, I mean, I tell people that all the time, it's part of my set. I'm like, I came out of my mom's womb with like looking this old already. Like everyone in my family just looks old. So I can never guess people's age. But recently I got it down to a point where I just say 28.
Yeah.
When you're
asked to guess.
And then normally like, I'm actually 32. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck? You fucking fetus.
One time, Nestor and I were outside of Berlin and we were pretty drunk. And this younger guy came up to us and he was like, oh, do you guys have a cigarette or whatever? And we were like, no. But we were like lit. And it came up, an age came up. And Nestor was like, well, how old do you think I am? And he was like, 27. And I laughed so hard. I laughed. I'm like, you didn't know 27, you lying bitch. And then with that guy. I walked to his apartment, which was nearby. And I think he went to DePaul. He was young. This was like right before I left for LA. So I think he was like 22. And I went back to his place. And we like, I don't think we actually fucked, but we were fooling around making out. And then we took a shower together and he washed my hair.
What?
And then I started crying. And he didn't know I was crying, but I was like, somebody's washing my
hair. How old do you think I am?
I got really emotional. And then I think in the light of day, he didn't really realize what I looked at like. And at that point, all my makeup had come off and I was just in a towel. And all of his like three roommates were getting up for school or work or whatever. So I was just like in a towel and I was like, this feels, I need to go. I need to get out of here. Because he looked at me like I just fucked an elderly person.
No way. First off, I'm going to say that out of all of this, the craziest thing was that you went home with him and immediately started showering and he washed your hair. Like, that is some scary fucked up shit to like let anyone do to you. I don't ever shower at people's homes.
Well, we were fooling around and he's like, do you want to take a shower? And I was like, okay.
What a fucking freak. You are a guest. He is a freak for doing that. That's crazy.
I used to be really into shower sex.
Why? It's so dry.
Not literally in nice. This pussy stays wet.
I'm sorry. I'm speaking from someone of just a butthole experience.
Well, it's tucked in there. So it maintains its moisture. It's like an inside out type of situation. But no, they were not nice showers that I was having sex in.
No. If anyone in their 20s that's inviting you over for shower sex, there's always like, you know, the weird soap held together with hair, or there's like the 3-in-1 shampoo, body wash, face wash combo. Mm-hmm. There's like a dead plant in there, or like a seasonal, like fast food cup, like one of the hard ones that you keep, and it's in there for some reason. Like maybe someone like used it to throw like the cleaning solution off the wall. They just like left it there, or like a loose. I think anything like that, I don't want to do it in the shower. But also, I think in my time when I was in my 20s, I'm 6'4", and at the time I was like 380 pounds. Like if I'm in the shower, there's no one in the shower with me. Like, and if there is, I'm not seeing them, and not in a sexy way. And they're not seeing me. It's crazy. I can't imagine doing that.
I always thought you were so handsome. I mean, and are at like any size. I mean that
you were. Oh my gosh!
Like that's you're so my type. If I had a type, I don't know. I just think you're so handsome. Dick. I couldn't imagine anyone not wanting to go out with you.
Actually, you know what's crazy is since I've lost weight, and for the listeners, when I met Marina, I was probably like 350, 360 pounds. And I went to Turkey and had my stomach removed, 85% of it in Istanbul. And I lost about 200 pounds over the past like year. And dude, now those same people that used to fuck with me back then are like, ew, why would you ever lose weight? What did you do to your body? I was like, oh fuck, you guys were all chubby chasers. At the time I was like really holding out that they just like loved me for me, but no, it was a total fat thing for a while.
Oh wow.
I know, but also I'm not skinny enough for the gays. So it's like, where am I at in the in-between? You know, I can only fuck other people who have like lost a bunch of weight. It's a really small dating pool.
But what's
a big small dating pool?
What I want to hear about What is it like in the day to day with how people just treat you in the world? Do you know
night and day difference? There? People, the only thing that I think sucks is people sit by me on the bus now. Whereas before, I was like, I'm going to sit my fat ass down in this part of the bus and no one's going to sit by me. And like, they wouldn't. And now people are like, we can fit two more people here in this seat. I'm like, oh my God, that's the worst. I will say the best things about it so far have been flying, like taking flights anywhere. Like I had my first like flight post, like losing that much weight. I did have like an emotional moment on the plane where I like buckled my seatbelt and was like, oh my God, this is crazy. There's so much room. And I like felt like, in my mind too, when people were sitting by me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so in their way. And I fucking wasn't. And I was like, that's actually kind of fierce. But then also it's like, you can't like love that much because you're like, I've been trained to love it because I've been so traumatized by like a seatbelt extender and like being a middle seat as a fat person on the plane before is like the worst thing. Like I have ruined these people's lives, you know? That's the craziest part for me the biggest like change that I've noticed in my travel life. I would say like in my day to day, there is skinny privilege. Skinny privilege is a real thing. Or being like, yeah, like having lost weight. I feel like people treat you so much differently. It's wild. I can't even pinpoint it necessarily, but even like as a gay guy, like before, I remember this one time I was at Sidetrack and I was walking through like during Pride and a guy just straight up looked at me and was like, ew, no thanks. And I was like, a bitch. And I got so fucking mad. But like now it's like, I get cruised all the time. And part of me, like the flip side of it now is like, before I used to be like, is this guy a chubby chaser or just like weird or what's going on? And now I'm just like, what is your problem? Like, what are you getting at? I don't know. It's so odd. But yeah, day-to-day exchanges have changed quite a bit. It's weird. But the thing that reminded me of this is because people always do this. Like if like, when I lost weight, people were so afraid to compliment me on losing weight or telling me like I looked. They'd be like, you look different. But also,
I love how you looked before. You're beautiful size.
You were beautiful before and now. I'm like,
no one was ever, my roses. Give me my roses.
No one was ever saying I was ever ugly, you fucking bitch.
Oh my God.
It's so different. It's wild.
I've had people that have made, because I recently lost 30 pounds and then gained back 15.
Yeah.
I know. Congratulations.
No, you did. You actually, I was going to say too, you look great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
snatched
that.
Down.
And somebody that
you always look great before and after, inside and out.
Oh please! But this one person had made like fat jokes about me before, but not in like a cute way. Like I actually really don't like that. Like I don't even think my close friends. Like I had a close friend in LA that did that a few times when I was here. And I'm like, you can't do that to me. Like you can't, there's no way for you to understand like how triggering and upsetting that is. Like, and I'm a pretty tough person, but like, I don't know. Like thinking that that's funny is just very strange.
They're just never good. There's never good fat jokes unless they're coming from fat people. And that's
I know
really
I can make
it.
Fat jokes about myself, but that doesn't mean you can, you know, right? So it's right. That type of thing. My brothers used to call me, I just talked to Nestor about this, but my brothers used to call me Fat Lynn because my real name is Caitlin. They're never
that's like not even good.
But like And I was talking to someone the other day and they were a very skinny, like drag queen. And I don't know, like they were like low key being fat phobic, but I didn't want to say anything, but I was just kind of like, ooh, that's like LA vibes. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the thing is like when also like people just say it all about themselves in front of you. And I don't ever get that. I never understood that or I still don't understand it where people were just like, oh my God, I want to eat this, but like, I feel like I've been gaining so much weight recently. And I'm like, you're talking to me and I'm a 380 pound man. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
What are you trying to say? Like you weigh 115 pounds. What? Like that's fucking crazy to say to someone like me. Like I'm not, I just don't want to gain any weight. Like I'm three of you, bitch. Like why are you confiding in me of all people? It's so nuts. People are weird. I mean, weight is a weird thing though. I mean, even now after losing weight, I think, and everyone goes through this too. It's like, when I was big, like the biggest I'd ever been, you could not tell me I wasn't just like the most skinniest person like you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, I had no idea that I was even like big until my doctor was like, hey, listen, you should really cut back because you are going to die, girl. And I was like, oh, right. Okay. That's actually an insanely mean thing to say. But like, now that I lost weight, like,
I don't think you were that big either. I don't know.
I will say it did get to a point where I was like,
I didn't think here. Like you were dying. I wasn't like, you weren't like no. Brendan Fraser in The Whale, you know?
Also, no.
That fucking movie. I hated it. I hate that movie. I'm happy anytime. For Brendan. I'm happy for him.
I'm just going to say that because I do wish him success. But anytime anyone puts on like a fat suit like that, like the only person that's okay was when Tyra did it. Remember when Tyra was fat? It was like, you just had to let Tyra do whatever she wanted. Like there's only like a few like crossover situations like that. When Tyra put on a fat suit and that one time when Halle Berry played an old Asian man.
She did?
Those were the only two times. No one ever remembers this. Yeah, I was in that movie Cloud Atlas. By the Wachowski sisters.
She played obese Asian man?
No, just an old Asian man. I was thinking that's the only time like using makeup to transform to something else has been like that jarring has been like okay with me. And it was Halle Berry being an old Asian man and Tyra Banks being a fat woman.
Like my culture is not a costume, you know?
No.
But it's a complicated issue because I follow this girl on social media and she used to be very... how would I describe it? Body positivity, but she was a big girl.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And now she started to lose weight and she's like very internalizing like fat phobia and being like preaching to women that are bigger, being like, stop coming up with excuses. Like if I can do this, you can do this. Like, I was this way and I was so unhealthy and a lot of you are just jealous. And I'm like, oh my God.
I hate that. I think that's so disgusting. And that is, I do feel like, again, that's another thing where it's like, you have the choice of either being that kind of person or just remaining. I mean, I'm so thankful people are, and I think it's because I'm just so open online about everything. People will constantly ask me about the surgery or like what I did to lose weight or what I do now and how I'm feeling. I'm an open book about any of that because no one ever told me, because everyone's so scared to talk about, they think it's like, a vulnerability. Well, it is a vulnerability to be able to be honest about mental health and how you feel about your body and like what you're doing with your body and like where you're failing, where you're winning. And I wish people would be more open about it. Like, I didn't take SSRIs for the longest time because I swear to God, I was like, everything I heard was so taboo about it. And then the moment I finally started taking like Zoloft and I posted about it online, I had like 40 DMs from different people being like, welcome to the club. I'm like, why didn't anyone ever tell me that everyone was taking like SSRIs? I had no idea. I thought we were just like all barebacking life.
It's so crazy because over the pandemic, I went to therapy for the first time. And then I started exploring medication because I was having, when we were going back into the world, the main thing that caused me to go on medication is I had a massive panic attack in a Family Dollar. The one in Rogers Park, massive.
The and Family Dollar or the panic attack?
It was mid-size.
Mid-size.
But when I have a panic attack like that, and this was a string of them, I had had one recently, but it's hard to explain, but you feel like you're dying and you know you're dying. You know you're dying. Mm. You know something is wrong. You are on your deathbed. Something is happening. Like, you're going to die. It's so real in that moment. And so I was having the panic attack and then I called my therapy office and I was like, I'm dying. And they were like, they called an ambulance and a fire truck showed up at the Family Dollar and they took my blood pressure. My blood
pressure. They sprayed you with the hose.
My blood pressure was 170 over like 100 or something like insane like that. They were like, like, this is an emergency. But you're having a panic attack. You're not dying, but also you're having such a panic attack that your body is dying. So,
oh my God, that's so
I went
scary.
To the hospital and I'm like still disassociated. Mm-hmm. I'm still like totally numb. And they gave me like an EKG and they took my blood pressure and they were like, I mean, you're fine. You just had a panic attack. And I was like,
it was a low prices.
I was like, I think I need to go on medication. And then they prescribed me an SSRI and it didn't work. It made me feel even worse. Like it made me feel really, really like something was really, really wrong. And then my psychiatrist was like, I think you have bipolar disorder. And I was like, okay, well, how do you know that? And she's like, well, usually when we give SSRIs to people with bipolar disorder, they react really poorly to them. And you've talked to, because the one that I have is very subtle. It's not like when people think of bipolar, they think of people having psychotic episodes where they think they're Beyonce walking through Times Square and like think they're God. I would have hypomanic episodes, which means I would just be like, I'm having a great day. I think I'm going to write today. I think I'm going to go out. I look so pretty. Like that was like my version of mania. I would just be really, really happy for like 4 days out of like 6 months. And the rest of the time, I would want to kill myself.
4 days out of 6 months is crazy.
I went on medication, the way, well, first of all, it took 6 weeks to titrate up to my dose, which is like forever. And once I was there, I was like, oh. And that year, I think I produced like, that was my year before I moved to LA. I wouldn't have moved to LA. I produced like 6 shows that year. I was so productive. I was still creative. I wasn't depressed all the time.
Amazing.
And then I came.
Isn't that like amazing?
It's amazing. And then I came here and was put on some really bad medication that fucked me up. That's the other double-edged sword is like psychiatrists will get confused and they'll be like, oh, you're manic. So I'm going to give you this. So they put me on like a really strong, like antipsychotic that you give to people with like schizophrenia. And I'm like, I don't think I need this. She's like, you do. Yeah. And then it made me lose, like literally ruined my life for 3 months. And then I went on. Yeah. You got to be careful. Like if you're on a medication and it works and you're like, fine, deal with whatever else is going on in your life. Like,
yeah,
don't, it's adding stuff. Like once you find it, like just stick with it.
I was so superficial about my fears about taking medication. I was like, I don't want to not be able to come ever. You know, I was so worried that I would never get hard again. And I worked through it. I'm proud to say, worked through it. Was able to get that demon in line. But that was like my biggest fear. And also, like, I don't know how yours affected you, but like for the first like 3 weeks, I would sleep like 4 hours every night, and that was enough sleep for me. I like did not know what to do. It was crazy. But I'm so thankful for it. And once it started hitting and started working, I could not believe how much like it just kind of built up my whole life. Like the little fears of everything, how much I was being held back by my own mind. And all for like the price of like $2 a month, I could have just gotten rid of it like forever ago. Like the price of a Starbucks like sous vide egg bite is going to take away all my pain. Fuck, that's crazy.
It's wild to think about, and it shouldn't.
Do you drink on yours?
What's that?
Do you drink on yours?
It's bad. Yeah. I have 2 drinks and I'm like fucked up,
which is
another benefit. Honestly, you have to be really careful, especially now I'm on a mood stabilizer too. I'm on Lexapro and that is really bad to drink on. You're really not supposed to drink on SSRIs, but I'm like, imagine if I started like how you're talking about, you would want to know how your life was if you took a different path or whatever, or if you didn't smoke. Like if I started medication earlier, that would have been crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like running on fumes. Like when I
would have like an HGTV show, you'd be like flipping properties somewhere.
But to think of all the stuff I accomplished without it, you know, like I would just procrastinate so hard on shows, like just sleep for like months on end, like couldn't keep my house clean, like couldn't keep my life clean. Like it was just really, and I was embarrassed about it. And I'd always think like in the back of my head, like maybe I have this because my mom has it. It's in my family. And my mom's doing amazing now, but it's really scary, especially what I have is like the highest rate of suicide.
Your face when you say it. Well, I don't like when you say, you know, when you say, I know, but you're like, you know what, like, when you like, you're on the roller coaster of words, you know that suicide's coming up on the word track. You're like, oh, I'm gonna have to figure out a way to say this
without it being really like depressing, sad. I don't know.
I mean,
it's just hard to.
You go.
It's like, did you also get that feeling where once you're on medication, you're like, is this what people feel like all the time?
Yeah, I was shocked by it. My first one, the first time I ever noticed that it was working is I sent a string of texts to some guy I was really interested in. And I did not even second guess those texts whatsoever. I sent them off like pow, pow, pow. And I like a day later was like, whoa, that would have actually put me in a spiral like maybe 4 months ago. And I don't give a fuck. And I was like, this is so cool. This is really great. And that was the first time I ever realized, like, oh, they're actually working. They're working.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It just took away. I had so much weird social anxiety. And I honestly, before I started taking them, I remember like doing Hell Trap Nightmare at the Hideout. And I had a panic attack right before going on stage. I started getting nervous for some reason, just like insanely nervous. And Sarah was on stage hosting and she was like, all right, chant his name, AJ, AJ. And I'm like, oh, in the crowd, like, God. My chest is so tight. I remember the first minute and a half of that set, I don't think I ever exhaled. I just kept inhaling while I was talking. So I'm like, for like a minute and a half. And then finally I had to like pull the mic away from my face. Like, and then like go back to like talking. I was like, oh, this is crazy. I cannot be doing this.
Did you do well though?
And, yeah, I killed it.
You always kill it.
It was fun. It was just like, I was just like, I cannot believe this happening to me like right before like a show is starting. That feeling is just so terrible. And that was a big thing for me, is be like, this is the one thing that brings me happiness. I'm feeling this petrified before I do it. It's insane.
Oh yeah. Ugh. It's when the things that make you, that's the hideous thing about depression, is like the saddest thing about it. And when I would know I was deep in it is when I would just, when doing this didn't do it for me, wasn't making me happy. Mm. When I was going on stage and I'd do a good job and then I'd still feel the heaviness and the darkness.
Yeah.
Like that was really scary. And it's like, well, will anything make me happy, you know, or just feel normal? Yeah. I one time was in a Frank Sinatra review in Rogers Park.
This is the most Marine San Diego shit I've ever heard.
It was fun. And I was on stage and everybody was like, fly me to the moon. And I was having a panic attack. I was having a fucking panic attack. And I was like, what? But it was my first panic attack ever, but it happened on stage. And I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
That's so terrible. That's like the worst feeling ever to be like, and it's like, you could not be in a worse scenario. There are so many people watching you and there's so many people on stage, like depending on you to like keep it together. It's like, you are in the worst possible place to be like having a panic attack. Like I couldn't get worse than that.
And everything's just like, ooh, and you're like, fly me to the moon. And you're just like, ah! And then it's like, woo, and you're back.
I honestly have not since I've been on a good little boy taking my SSRIs. I haven't had any panic attacks. The closest thing I've had to one is actually last time I was in New Orleans. I did do a bunch of cocaine for the first time and I had a really bad cocaine hangover the next day, which I didn't know that was such a thing. I had such a social hangover. Like I felt like I remembered all 3 billion words I had said the last 45 minutes before I went to sleep. Somehow at this party, and the next day I was so haunted by my behavior at that party that I was like, I felt that feeling all day. I was like, oh my God, I can't be doing this.
I can't smoke weed anymore.
Really?
No.
Why? Does it give you anxiety? Does it like pump up like the paranoia?
It just makes me disassociate. And when I start, I think the reason is what can trigger panic attacks is like a sensation changing. So like if your body feels different, then you'll start thinking, what's happening to my body? And then it just builds on top of itself. So it can trigger them. I don't really miss it, to be honest. Like as long as I can still drink, I don't do coke. I do mushrooms. Mushrooms are perfect. They're fine. Nothing.
I just got some in preparation for Mardi Gras because I decided I don't want to like drink super heavy for Mardi Gras. I just want to take like shrooms at the beginning of the day and like just like ride it out.
Just vibe, yeah.
I'm kind of like excited and nervous for it. I'm like a little bit newer to that kind of situation, but I'm looking forward to it. I just don't want to like see God's eyes or like, you know, scare the shit out of myself.
Have you done them before?
I've done like one of those like super crazy trips where you just took a whole bunch and you just knew that you were going to like, you know, talk to the ancestors or whatever. And my ancestors are just like the pioneer woman, some like white lady who's still alive. I did a lot of like the big trips, but I'm so bad at like doing the little small doses.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't narrow it down. And when I'm on them, if I see electronics, oh my God, I am just like, my phone is the portal to hell. If I'm on shrooms, I'm like,
oh. Nestor and I were on shrooms over New Year's and I start editing a photo of myself that he had just taken to make it look like I look crazy. So I made my eyes really big and I made my tits really big and I'm like, how does this look? And then he just like couldn't stop laughing for like 15
lost
minutes.
His mind.
We've had so much fun on mushrooms. Oh my God. But I don't take a lot. I take like a baby. The nice thing about LA is they sell the chocolate everywhere, or you can find the chocolate.
Really?
And I'll take like a square. And it's just like, you know what the dose is or whatever. You take a square to test it and you're like, okay, that's chill. But I mean, I've had some not so chill mushroom trips. I did them with Lester in his house and I looked in the mirror. Looking in the mirror can be trippy. And I saw myself like a time lapse of myself aging into an old woman. And I had gray hair and my skin was wrinkled.
Age, we're coming back to age, circling back.
I just can't believe I'm going to be 34.
That's so young, stupid.
You think so?
What are you talking about? Yes, of course.
How old are you?
So young. I'm 30. I'm going to be 34 this year.
Okay.
I thought
we were the same age.
For me to say that's so young because I'm about to be that age. So it almost sounds like I'm just like telling myself that. But I do feel that way. I feel like it's so young, but I feel like it seems like it's older because I mean, I know at least for me, all my friends have like kids and they got married really, really early, like in their early 20s. So like it feels like eons away from like them that I'm still just like out here being like living check to check, being crazy. But like, I just think it's so young in the grand scheme of things. It's like, I think personally old is like 50 or like late 40s. I don't know. It just depends on what I like old people though.
But I've had friends that are like one of my best friends is like 59 and like, I don't think of him as old.
Yeah. It's like your spirit. How you feel.
And he's really sensitive about it too. So I don't even bring it up, but he doesn't, you know, he's not like an old person to me. I just, when you have those moments when you're around young people and it's like, I don't know.
And they're washing your scalp in their shower.
Washing my scalp.
Yeah, they're cleaning you up.
They're sponge bathing you. Well, I'm so glad I haven't like fucked anyone in their house. Like it's been all on my terms. Well, that's a lie.
That is a lie.
I have an elder. Well, I have an elder beneficiary and he lives in Long Beach and I have fucked him in his apartment. So I have a sponsor.
Well, where else are you fucking people at then?
My home. I don't really fuck a lot of people. I'm not fucking anyone. I was dating a guy for 2 months and then he was obsessed with kites. He was really obsessed with kites. He loved kites. He lived in Santa Monica. He was a software engineer.
What do you mean he was obsessed with kites? Like he just like loved flying them, thought they were gorgeous. Was there like a trauma there?
He flew kites every single day. Like he had a kite mentor who was like an older Asian man.
that he would hang out with
Halle Berry. A kite mentor is crazy. You need to stop talking to people like this. You need to focus more on quality, I think. I think you can't talk to somebody. Do you have any red flags? Is there anything that stops you from any sort of interaction? Because I mean, I feel like if I heard kite mentor, I would be like, no, grow up.
I actually like kites. And it was so funny because when we first started talking.
Pick me behavior. Oh, I've actually always loved kites.
Well, I do. I had a kite in Chicago and I'd fly it on the beach with friends and it was a fun little activity. But when he mentioned that he liked flying kites, I was like, oh, I like flying kites too. And he got really excited. He's like, oh my God, I love kites. And I showed him a little picture of me, or a video of me flying my kite in Chicago. Oh, and he was like, oh, but I'm really into kites, like trick kites, like doing, he has a
TikTok. Oh, he had those serious kites.
Yeah, serious kites, like the trick ones. He had a sewing machine. He sewed kites.
Oh, that's actually kind of fierce. Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It's interesting, you know? It was interesting. It was unique. Yeah, it didn't work out.
Oh, what happened?
Well, When I get involved in somebody and I don't really have anything else going on, like I wasn't doing the podcast again, I wasn't performing. Right now I'm working on my place. So my place is like a project that I'm working on. I've been painting, mm-hmm. I'm doing stuff. I didn't really have anything going on at that point. I was just kind of needed something to hyper fixate on. And it was him.
Okay.
And he was somebody that would text me every single day, text me constantly. And that was a good feeling. And I liked him. But he basically was on his way to my house to hang out. We just weren't hanging out enough. And he lived in Santa Monica and I live in Miracle Mile, which is like a long distance relationship, which is a very LA thing. It's like somebody being in Rogers Park versus what's a good, even further than that.
Oh, yeah.
Naperville.
Oh, God.
And... maybe not that much, but he was driving over to my house and he calls on his way over and he's like, I turned around. He's like, I can't come. Oh. And I was like, oh, well, that's sad. Okay. And I was like, I guess I understand. He's like, well, I don't expect you to understand because it's weird of me to do. And I was like, okay. And
that's weird of you to do. Not yeah. hanging out with an old Asian man flying kites in the park.
I got really sad. I got really upset because it was after the first time we had had sex. So to me, it kind of felt like, oh, you had sex with me and now you don't want to see me again, you know? Mm-hmm. But that was in my head. That was what was in my head because that's happened to me before. Demons,
the voices.
And then I broke up with him, but accidentally. I thought I was communicating, but I think how he interpreted it was me breaking up with him.
What do you mean?
Well, I sent him a text that was I deserve someone that has the bandwidth to want to see me more often.
Right. Yes.
And maybe we can reconnect at another time. And then it was over.
So you did break up with him.
Yeah.
That's a breakup thing. It's it wasn't, I mean, unless you meant by another time you meant tomorrow, three. Instead of him being we're not going to see each other again.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I was if you're not going to see me again, can't you plan to see me another time? You obviously just don't like me enough, you know? I need somebody to be obsessed with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think that's what everyone kind of wants. Especially if you're a performer too, it's we can't, either we both have to be really invested in our own lives, be close enough, and keep each other, you know, together, keep things in common, or you have to completely make me the center of your world.
Yeah, kind of. And yeah. It honestly, at this point, it doesn't take much. My standards, you know, bare minimum is oh my God, Prince Charming, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad, but my elder beneficiary, he treats me like a goddess and I'm the best thing on planet Earth. and gives me lots of money.
That's great. I love money.
And I need that, but like, I don't know. I don't know what I need. I need to focus on me. Are you seeing anyone?
I'm seeing a lot of people. For me, I'm not dating, but I'm hooking up, I'm making out, I'm hanging out.
You're in your skinny slutty era.
My skinny slutty era, yeah. I'm figuring out what that means to me, and then also just like what I'm into. I work for a dating app, so it's like I talk about dating constantly, and I'm not opposed to talking about it. I love hearing people talk about what they like and what they don't like, but it's almost like I think working for an app like that has like kind of made it seem like more like a science and kind of like technical to me. So I find that the best connections I have are with people that aren't on apps. Like last week I was at this bar. Oh wait, I need to tell you the story. So okay. I'm at this bar in Brooklyn and I went to the bar and the bartender there was like really gorgeous, like super cute guy. And I just said, hey, like, I think you're really handsome. I'd love to take you out on a date sometime if you want to like come with me and get like dinner and a drink. And he was like, yeah, you asked me that last night. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you came in here last night. And I was like, I was here. And he said, yeah, I was there in a blackout the night before. And I told him the exact same thing verbatim. I think you're really hot. I want to take you out for dinner and drinks. He goes, yeah, you gave me your number. And I was like, well, okay, I didn't hear from you.
What's the answer?
It's probably a little bit too messy last night. He's like, no, I was going to text you. It's just that you gave me a 6-digit number. I gave him a piece of paper with 6 numbers on it. Just 6 random numbers. Not like my phone number, not even like part of my phone number, just 6 numbers. And I was like, hey, why don't you like just call me whenever you're ready? And like winked and like left it with him. And it was just like chicken scratch. That's how I've been approaching, I guess, like dating. But I did give him my full number. We are texting about it. But I'm not in New York anymore. So
it'll be a while before that happens.
Yeah, just
I gave you a 6-digit number in a blackout and then forgot that I met you.
I had shark eyes.
Because you were so special to me that I just forgot.
Totally ruined it.
Before we get into our Icon Even section.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could use this as my Icon Even. No, I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell it now. So one time I was on the CTA and I saw a really cute guy, and this was like in my early 20s, and there's this little girl that was hanging out on the CTA just next to me, and I wrote my number on a piece of paper, and then I handed it to the little girl, and I was like, hey, can you give this to that guy over there? And she did, and then I was like, and we actually went out on a date. It didn't work out. But
I was expecting I was unhinged in
my 20s.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's like, actually really, really bold. I've only started doing the number thing recently and I'm not doing it well so far. I need to write the full number. I should carry full slip business cards, I guess.
I got hit on at Precinct at the gay bar the other night, which was very shocking. But yeah, it wasn't really someone I was interested in, but it's always nice to get hit on. I feel like I'm always approaching people.
Are you bi?
Yeah.
Have you been in any like right. Take a look around. The vagina wallpaper tells the story. The makeup sings the song.
I'd say I'm more heteroromantic though, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I've been exploring those options. It's just,
do you have a female type?
Curvy. Like mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
Like my twin.
Yeah.
I like
wearing
that.
A picture of your face.
I know. I really like curvy girls. So.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Shout
I
out.
Butch women. Also, butch women, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm also exploring this part of myself. Butch
are
women
you,
Maureen.
Are you pan?
I don't know what it is recently. Now I'm in that phase where it's just like, if someone is really funny and really charming, I can get turned on by that. Last year I was with a trans man. And yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Have been. Gladly.
Yeah.
Great. I've never hooked up with, I haven't, thankfully, I have not hooked up with people where I've just felt like so much remorse about ever like, even trying something different. Like everyone's been very cool about it.
Yeah.
This past year, I've like learned so much about myself and like what I'm down with. And last time I was in New Orleans, I did comedy here, and after my set, this guy came up to me and he is just like, you know, big ginger bear daddy, and he's like, hey, like I just, you know, my partner and I are here. We like your show. We want to see if we could buy you a drink. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, it's gonna be a guy who like looks like his twin because bear community, they all look the fucking same. And we go get a drink. We go back to this booth where his partner is. This woman looks like Kelly Ripa. It is just little blonde girl, like woman who's just like, oh my god, so Kevin told you that we love your show. Oh, sit down, we wanna have like a drink with you, have a talk, like maybe see how things like work out. Yeah, we
you
all,
did it?
We all, yeah. But I think it's because
you fucked her.
Well, some things happened. I'm not gonna get
what did you do?
We had a threesome, and she fucked all of us.
She had a strap on. Okay, I don't. I'll take it out. I'm not taking it out. But no, you don't have to say anymore.
I'm not going to get into deets of it, but it did get crazy. And I think the thing that like made it so great was that she was just like, there was a level of organization there that I just had to respect sexually, where she was just like, yeah, I'm organizing this whole show. These are the logistics. This is where it's going to be at. Here's your drink. I'm buying another one. This is my husband. You did it great. It was just like a whole, like, I was like, oh my God, like this is like a, there's a few things that are
being funny
really
gets you laid.
Being funny gets you laid.
Being
yeah.
funny on and, stage, and then like the amount of times I've been hit on, like in this, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I get hit on more like this, especially if I've done a show and like after people are like really sexually attracted to me. I don't know.
There is something about, I think, just anybody also in makeup. It's there. I one time going to a Halloween party, I was a zombie and I had an eyeball hanging out of my real eye. And the only time I've ever been hit on an Uber, the guy's like, hey, so I'm like, what? I like looked in the like rear view mirror. I'm like, I look like a corpse. And then I was like, oh God. Are they like, you're like a dead person fucker, or like you're all about like makeup and mystery? And I did give him my number, and we did hook up, and I was not in the makeup, but whatever.
You had an eyeball hanging out?
There was an eyeball hanging out, and I was green.
Oh my God. I one time.
But you know what? He could have seen my picture on the little Uber app. Now I think about it, he did know what I looked like.
He could have. My thing is like when I'm flirting with someone, and then they're like, oh yeah, I'm married. And I'm like, what? Or maybe I just think you're flirting because you're being really nice. Like, I can't tell. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I, at this point, for the longest time, could never tell when someone was actually flirting with me. And now I'm worried I'm doing too much in the opposite direction, where, like, someone, like, hands me a sandwich, like, at, like, Subway. And I'm like, oh, my God, you want to fuck me so hard? Like, please, sandwich. Like, I work here. Stop saying that to me. It's 7 in the morning. I would never get Subway breakfast. People that do that are sick.
Welcome back to I Can't Even. It's the section of the show where we talk about something that we can't even cunt even about. That's the show. So I'll start. Something happened to me this week. I can't even. I almost got scammed by the United States Postal Service. Well, it wasn't them. It was someone behind them. I got a text with my tracking number for this wig. And they were like, your address is incomplete. In order to update, click here. And I was like, okay, maybe my friend put in the address wrong. And I click on it, and it's the USPS website. Looked legit.
No.
And they were like, we need to charge you 30 cents. I was also half asleep. I had just woken up, and I'm like, I need this wig.
Please.
And they were like, we need you to enter your, I entered my credit card information. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, something's fishy about this.
And then, yeah.
But the website look real.
Of course.
And then I looked at the text message, and the text message was from a Gmail account.
Oh, and I was God. Like,
my company taught me about this. I remember my security training about phishing. So I canceled all of my cards, and it's fine.
Oh my God, that makes me so stressed. I literally work in trust and safety. So my whole job is all about making sure people don't get scammed. And as
oh my
soon
God.
As you said about
Where text, were you?
Oh my God.
Where were you, AJ, when I needed you?
I was blacked out in Crown Heights, face down on the ground. Zoloft under my tongue, bottle of tequila Ooh. In my purse. Yeah. That's crazy. I'm so glad you didn't get, well, I mean, I guess you would have gotten scammed, but you went ahead and took your cards down, which is good.
Yeah, well, they probably would have drained my bank account, which would have been fucked up because I've recently just like saved a bunch of money. So
I was God.
Yeah, it would have been really bad if I hadn't caught it.
I
feel like your bank gives you back the money though, right?
Sometimes it depends on what kind of transaction it is. Sometimes banks won't help you, and depending on what kind of bank it is too. Like credit unions, local credit unions will not help you get your money back because it's a credit union. So they're like, oh, we're not going to get this back for you. But sometimes they will. I don't know. I used to work for, you can blur this out, but it was Venmo, and people would get scammed on that so hard. And the biggest scams were people who were sending money to others for puppies. Like around Christmas, they'd be like, oh, I'm buying this pit bull for my son. Here's $250 in deposit. The same person would collect like 15 payments of $250, transfer their money out, close their account. And we could never actually help them because it's like you chose to send the money and there is no refunds for that. So I don't know. People get scammed all the time. And actually, research-wise, Gen Z is the most susceptible to scams of all generations currently.
Wow.
Old people and anything, because they just were never around it. So like the thing that's happening right now is the pyramid scheme coming back, and pyramid schemes get Gen Z all the time.
That's crazy.
That's why you got scammed, because you're so young.
Because I'm Gen Z. No, Gen one Z. Time somebody, my real name's Caitlin, and somebody sent me $5,000 because they thought I was their sister, and they were someone I knew from college. And they were like, hey, can you send that back? And I was like, yeah, I'll send it back.
See, and that's the other thing. You can change like, your name and your profile picture to like someone else's and just request people's money from their friends list. And then people will just like likely send it to you. That happens to people all the time. So
really?
Yeah, people do that all the time.
They
go to the profile picture, they take your profile picture, they change their first and last name on it, and like people don't ever pay attention to the username. They just see you got a request from first name, last name, here's the thumbnail. And it'll be like, hey, like my car broke down. Do you have like $30? I'll pay you back like ASAP. I just need it for right now for like for some gas or something. And but they'll send it to like multiple friends and family members and stuff, and everyone will like send the payment back to them, and then they cash their shit out and leave. And then people are like,
I mean, that's a way to
money for gas.
That's a way to keep a drug habit going.
Mm-hmm. This is great. This is like a little class now for scamming.
Well, this is such a good episode. Before we wrap up, what's your icon even?
Mine's kind of shallow about it, and it's only because recently she's been on TV a little bit more. I can't even deal with people who are mean to Jennifer Lopez about her career. I'm sorry. I'm a J-Lo stan. I'm not a stan, but I just, you know, I'm going to defend her. She's given us some hits, okay? She gave us Selena. She gave us The Cell. She gave us Monster in Law, all right? That one song with LL Cool J, Waiting for Tonight.
She's real.
Whoa. Why are you being so mean to her, everybody?
The Lasers?
I hate that. Yes.
She's very entertaining. And so what?
Yeah.
She can't sing.
She can't sing.
Everyone, who cares?
A lot of people can't sing. I didn't think Britney Spears could sing.
No, she can't.
No.
I mean,
as a matter of fact, yeah. Well,
she really can. But oh my God, she's made so many great movies. She has so many bops. She's an amazing dancer. I went to the Continental pageant, and there was a queen that did a J-Lo illusion. It was the best number of the night, and I thought she was J-Lo, and it was amazing. And she had the cane. And it was like,
giving you a dollar good. Right now. I see. And when people are mean to her, I'm just like, you guys be mean to literally anyone else.
Well,
there's
that's
so many other people we could pay.
Did you see the AO Edebiri thing? Was that what you saw?
Yes, this is why it came up, because I was in a cab after a show with my friend. We had just done this comedy show, and they were like, oh, did you see like AO's on SNL with JLo? And that whole thing came up with like how she had like trashed JLo before, or supposedly on like this other like podcast or something, which I hate when people do that to comedians. Don't do that to comedians. Like, oh, they talk
don't
about celebrities.
Dig up
what else
fucking...
do we have? Shut up.
That's so fucked up. Like, imagine all
I
the dumb shit I've said on podcasts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even just about RuPaul. Like, imagine.
Like your Twitter.
Yeah. I try. My Twitter's fine. I mean, I did trash Matty Morphosis when she got on Drag Race. I was like, why is this straight?
Really?
Yeah, I did. It was not cool.
I mean, that's fine. I think everyone has
I
those,
felt
like,
feelings.
Little... Yeah.
Because I was like, why isn't someone like me on Drag Race? Why is a
Right.
straight man on Drag Race before a cis female? I don't know.
It's so weird how that show like moves like way slower than any other show could possibly move in like, that progressive direction. Like, we probably won't see, like, I feel like, a female queen until, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 more years.
There
I feel
was
the same way
one
about bearded queens.
There was Victoria Scone. She was on it. But that was in the UK. There hasn't been one in the US. I had
Yeah,
someone
the US
tell
is
me
just...
last night that was like, you're my favorite woman drag queen. I was like, thanks.
And that person was Matty Morphosis.
I actually really like her now. I think she's very funny.
She's so funny.
She's very funny. But the context just bothered me. I was just like, I know so many talented women that do drag.
Yeah. It was like the whole Bible.
And drag kings.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
They need a drag king race. I'd watch the fuck out of that.
I'm trying to think of who I say really mean stuff about all the time that I wouldn't want them to see it. I feel
Ooh.
Like, God, I'm like, who am I being mean about? Oh, I would say I talk a lot of shit about Harry Styles and Timothée Chalamet. And it's like, I don't know them, but like, also, I don't know if you get this too. I'll like be really mean about someone online, and then like, for me, like a day later, I'll be like, why was I doing that? That's
yeah.
Like, why am I being such a hater about this stuff? Like, now I just kind of like go back on it. Like, I don't have any strong feelings towards anyone except for that guy with the kite that you were talking about. That really pissed me off.
I won't say who it is, in case I get on SNL, and they're the musical guest. There was someone very specific who
Pink.
Did something. they did something similar to me, but they were really famous for it, but they didn't do drag. And I, like, for some reason, I just was a total hater about this person. And they're a comedian. They're pretty well known, like, independently. And I feel the same way, to be honest with you.
I believe that they probably actually copied you earnestly, too. I think in this day and age, I do actually believe that you can't tell me there aren't performers who are hitting a dry spot creatively and they don't go to TikTok and see someone that's, like, not super, like, has, like, a lot of followers and just, like, pull a bit from them and hope to God, like, no one ever, like, cross-checks that. I don't believe that people don't do that. I think that's happening all the time.
That's so crazy.
I think so. I think people do that.
I would never think to do that. Like, I haven't done the hacky thing on TikTok yet. Like,
which
I
one?
Haven't, like, where you do, maybe I have done a few, maybe I'm lying. I have done a few of, like, the trends.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I'd never, like, copy anyone. I'd, like, do it in my own way. I guess I'm, like,
yeah.
I know people that have, like Alex Colyard has, like, how many people, like, followers on TikTok? Like, so many. And I'm like, do you want to go live and, like, make money? And he's like, no, I won't do that. He's like, I can't, like, basically sell out like that. And I'm like, I would in a heartbeat.
I would in a heartbeat.
I'll take
yeah.
some of those followers. You had some big
I know.
On TikTok.
Yeah, I don't have the and generate content all the time. I'm so just like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm such a watcher now. I love to absorb other people's shit, but I'd hate, like, putting out, like, the pressure Like, I've talked to someone before, like, actually, a person I went on a date with was a TikTok influencer, and I was asking, like, how do you do that? And they said that they set up, like, a two-day window where they shoot, like, 30, 40 videos, and they space them out every day for, like, the next, like, month and a half. And I'm like, that is sick to me. And it works for them. It works for them, which I don't understand.
I did two podcasts today, and I feel like that's enough. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, coming up with, like, 30 bits and then filming all of them. And even for me, like, people are like, why don't you do Maureen on the Street? And I'm like, I would say
I would watch the shit out of that.
It would be really fun.
It would be. You're a great performer. I would love watching that. I would definitely absolutely give that my time, too.
I guess maybe I am a little bit lazy. Can we say that? I don't know if it's laziness. Yeah. I just, like, I don't have, in my 30s, I don't have, like, the same, I don't know, hope.
The hustle mentality. There's, like, the feeling I think that I get to is, like, the fear of being so cringy and bad. Like, I hate the idea of posting all these videos. And, like, let's say I do the 30, 40 thing, and I get 30 to 40 videos out in, like, a month and a half, and every single one of them is bad. I would absolutely end it.
I've had really bad videos. I've posted really embarrassing things. I'm here for it. I'm here for the cringe. But I also, like, will post videos of myself performing, and it'll be like, ooh, 200 likes on Instagram. Life-changing. And then I'm like, look at my follower count, and I'll just be like, because follower count doesn't, like, equate to talent. And I'll be like, I feel like I should have more followers, but I've never been good at gaining them.
No, I mean, me neither. Someone, like, every once in a while, a meme page will repost me, and then I'll get, like, a bunch of followers, but their names are always like, watch my pussy come. And I'm like, oh God, it's just like some Russian robot person. The same person that's robbing you probably from USPS following me.
Yeah, that would be likely. But I also feel like the pressure to create content, I'll want to do a million things at once, and then I'll just end up doing nothing. I'll be like, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to go to open mics. I need to meet people. I need to network. I need to do this. I need to write this show. I'm going to reach out to this person. Write it all down. Make a list. Never do it.
Never do it again.
Which is sad. I should, you know, do it. But I will.
Maureen in the grocery store. Yeah. I said Maureen in the grocery store. Maureen at the public library. I would watch you all over doing interviews.
That would be fun. Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will do that. We'll see.
Liar.
This is content.
We're actively doing it right now.
We are. Like,
we need sponsorships. Who would you want to sponsor you? What's the most used product in your house right now?
I did have a vibrator sponsor from China. But it ended up...
The peaks and the valleys.
But it ended up not working out. I've had Dude Wipes reach out to me.
This totally checks out. This totally checks out.
There was a brand called Sheertex, which is like an indestructible pair of tights. And they sent me a free pair of tights. I got a free leg pillow.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is an incredibly
sad thing to get.
There is also a
leg pillow, by the way. Is it just like you put it between your legs?
No, it was a block. It was really nice. I used it all the time. So it was
for, like sciatica?
Like if you're watching TV and you want your legs sort of angled up. So it was like a triangle, but like foam. But you could also put it under your back and you could use it for sex.
God. Oh, you can use it for sex. That's what it is.
And then there was also a very fancy one hitter company that sent me like an $80 one hitter.
Oh my God.
And wanted me to post in my story and gave me like a promo code, whatever. So I did that. Sometimes I think these companies are just like, there's one random gay that like is niche and knows who I am and is like, we'll throw her a bone, you know, but
we'll throw her some indestructible tights from Belarus.
But they know that I don't have enough of a following to actually like get people to buy whatever they're selling. So it's just like them being nice. What's
the leg pillow's crazy.
There's a perfume company where they would create.
When you don't know what the brand is, you're just saying a perfume company. That's what bothers me and startles me.
Well, they created custom perfumes based on an influencer's personality. So I had to like send in the images that I wanted on it, and it never happened. I don't even know what happened with that. I think they were supposed to.
I was a scammer. Send us your underwear, send us your socks, send us a picture of you bending over and looking back at the camera, and we're going to make you do the best perfume.
I had a clothing company, like a gay clothing company, that sent me a bunch of stuff, but none of it fit.
God, it's the worst.
I'm hoping to get sponsors for the podcast, though. So if anybody knows anyone, I'd love to like break even. I'd love to be able to pay the like $19.99 a month. I pay for the Zoom subscription.
I'd love to break that? Even. Leg pillow companies, neck pillow companies. There's possibilities here. There's a possibility
I'm trying to think of like the weirdest one I've had.
Oh my god, have you ever had anyone like that you're hooking up with ask you to repost their art on your story? Because I had that happen to me recently and it was the most jarring thing ever.
What?
Yeah.
Your stories get a lot of views though.
My stories actually do great.
What are your views?
My views are probably like close to like 800. For me, that's really great, by the way. If I said that to anybody else, it'd be like, ew, that's so disgusting and sad. But
since I've been having a personal life, my views have gone way down. People want to see me in trauma constantly. Because I used to get like 300 or whatever, and now it's like I'm mentally healthy and I get like 40. So I'm like, okay.
If I post anything earnestly, I get
zero views,
or I lose a billion followers. People are like I remember one time I posted a picture of latte art, and someone was like, "I don't get what you're doing. Are you like cosplaying as a dumbass mom?" And I was like, "I just like thought this was a really beautiful latte." And everyone was like, "Oh God!" And like no one interacts with it, so I have to like not be earnest, or like I'll post something that's like a really beautiful sunset, and I have to draw like a giant asshole around it to like, so that way I can still like satisfy my posting mind, but also satisfy the gang.
You need like an alt or something.
I do have an alt. I have an alt that I post just like food that I make and like selfies I never would post anywhere. That's my go-to now.
My story is so like, I post like hummingbirds. It like has nothing to do with my persona at all. I'll look back at my stories from like 2018 before I was on medication, and it was what the people wanted. It was just pure chaos, like, but in a great way.
So, yeah. See, you're too mentally sane right now, you know?
That's what it is. And like, I'm okay with that. I was talking to somebody the other night, and I'm like, I just need one thing to kind of get a little momentum. I'm doing the podcast, and like otherwise I'm pretty content. That's the thing about medication too, is you'll get very like content and you're just like, maybe I don't need to like do all this stuff to get attention.
I know. That's how I feel about comedy. That's actually what I talk about in the opening of my set more often than not, is I haven't done comedy in a long time because I started taking Zoloft, and it made me realize that like I actually don't need to do anything to be happy anymore. I just can be happy. Like, and I found out that it was working because I was sharing Spotify songs to my Instagram story like a fucking sicko. And once I started doing that, I was like, oh wow, you know, I'm losing it for real.
That's so funny.
So sick.
Yeah, sad. It's something I've talked to about with my psychiatrist, but I'm like, I don't want to go back.
No. Like,
I feel like I just need to, I've very much established some just like comfort and stability, and now I'm going to start working again. And I've been meeting more people in the community. So I think that's good. But I'm also not putting any pressure on myself at all.
No, don't. Yeah. If it works out, it works out in the way that you want it to. Absolutely. There's also going to be like other opportunities. That's why I feel like when I put like all my eggs in one basket, it doesn't work out for me, I would normally like spiral out. And now I'm just like, I find that if I just let shit come to me, it just has been happening recently. And I'm like, really? You know, I don't know if it's a luck thing or what's going on, but I'm just like rolling with it. When I go for things too hard, I feel like I kind of fuck it up. Like I want it too bad.
And,
like,
yeah, that's how I felt when I first came here. I wanted it way too bad. And I actually met
someone. I was giving people the ick.
I was very icky. And I met someone. I was very like, I'm in LA and my dreams are this and I'm going to do this. And just you see. Oh my God. And I met someone the other night that had just moved here too. And they kind of had that energy. And I was like, oh, now I'm getting the ick. Because I feel like you do have to have it like come to you a little bit. And just do the things that you actually want to do and not try to do everything all at once. Like I was like, I'm doing open mics and I'm writing and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's just like, no, you just need to do one thing really well.
It reminds me of like when you first when I first moved to Chicago and I would see people on the train and everyone's so depressed. And I was the only person on the train being like smiling and staring out the window. I was like, this is my city. And I'm like, now I look at that, I'm like, ew, you were such a fucking virgin fool. Like, how dare you like look so pleased with being in a city like that? Yeah. Oh, that's hopeful. We have to keep that hope alive.
We do.
A little bit.
Speaking of keeping the hope alive, let's kill this podcast.
Flush it.
Let's flush it. AJ, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or...
Not shit, not at all. No, I'm kidding. I'm traveling around doing shows wherever. If you want to know where I'm at, follow me on Instagram at AJ Deluxe, please.
Yay! And please remember to follow, like, review, give us some 5-star reviews. If you don't have a 5-star review, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, unless it's a 4-star, then maybe post it anyway. But
I'm a small business owner, and
that's right.
And I have a lot of good sponsorships coming my way. So I want to keep that record clean. So give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you write a really nice review, maybe I'll read it on air. AJ, I love you. That was amazing. And thank you for listening to I Can't Even.